To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Now let's play human foosball!
And Nam has scored the fastest playoff goal surely in Columbus history! Finley with this run, it's spectacular! Oh, what a goal! Ethan Finley with a brace inside 2 minutes!
Take that, Diddy A. Drogba!
Kai is dunked on Montreal in the second portion of extra time! 3-1! Montreal aggregate!
This is the Massive Report Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Massive Report. My name is Matt Goschert. I am with you, as always, with Jim Bach and Alex Stanek. Chris Landis has the night off, and we are told that his rickets will clear up and he'll be back next week.
Yeah, maybe.
Pray for Chris.
Yeah. Be well, Chris. Be well.
Hashtag pray for Chris.
Yeah.
He had some. He had to help out his mom with something.
A really bad spider bite.
That's what it was. Yeah, that makes sense. Jim, tell him who's sponsoring us.
Our sponsors are Land Grant Brewing Company, Hendox Pub, Fireball Press, the Grove City Barbershop, and Ohio is Home, whom I believe they make t-shirts. Is that correct?
They do make t-shirts.
Yes, excellent. And they are all fine establishments, and you should patronize as many of them as possible, because baby needs whiskey.
That just reminded me of when Bob Uecker throws it to the color guy during Major League. Swing and a strike. So, guys, a rainy Saturday, a really rainy Saturday. I ended up just watching the match here. That's how rainy of a Saturday it was. And that's how committed to Sparkle Motion was. I tailgated for the entire match, and then basically said "F it" and went to the bar and watched the game at the bar because it's warm in here and not wet. But the Crew draw NYCFC by a score of 3-3. Alex, your impressions on the match?
I thought it was good. I thought it was good. No, I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You thought another draw, yeah, no matter what the score line. I don't even care about the damn score line. You thought another draw was a good result.
Go to Jim first so that we can end on a high note.
Okay, Jim, your impressions on Saturday's match.
Well, I had a miserable time.
Uh-huh.
And it was another draw at home. And so it's like, you know, it's like we can't stop dating our sister.
Did you bring your Clintonville issued parka with you?
No,
hipster parka and scarf.
No, why would I have Clintonville issue hipster parka and scarf?
Because you live in Clintonville.
Yeah, I have chickens. I my hipster cred is through the ceiling.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. So. Jim has chickens now, by the way, everybody. Just so you know,
I saw that on Twitter. That's impressive.
Yes.
So continue.
So, for all the possession that we have, for all of the stats that we have, for all of that stuff, we're giving up way too many goals. We have a horrible, horrible defense, and it's just, it's pathetic, and I'm really tired of it. And at this point, the only reason that I go, you know, I'll tell you why I had a terrible time, because the only reason I go to these matches anymore is to hang out with my friends, and I didn't see Matt, and it made me sad.
I was in the parking lot the entire time before the game.
Well, I showed up in the parking lot and you had already left or something.
Then that was after scheduled kickoff.
No, I mean I was in the parking lot by 7 o'clock or 7:10 or something like that.
No, I was definitely still here.
Well,
still there by then.
Well, maybe I just couldn't see you through the massive throng of the other four people who
yeah,
were there.
Or the torrential downpours.
Yeah. So, you know, not to be a complete Debbie Downer, I'll say that it was nice that Miram got on the score line, and it was nice that that other guy who's really terrible, Ethan Finley, yeah, he got on the score line. He scored two goals, one mm-hmm. of them a penalty, which apparently, from what I understand from Big Soccer, don't really count.
Wait, they don't count in the scoreboard?
No, they don't count because Andres Mendoza scored a lot of penalties, and that meant that he wasn't really a good scoring forward because penalties don't actually count.
He was just a jerk. He was just a
jerk. Yeah, I know. It's idiotic.
He wasn't a good player from the run of play. He scored a lot of penalties. But yeah. he wasn't a player that I enjoyed from the run of play.
I'm just slamming random people on big soccer because...
Sorry, Steve Abreu.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, not Steve Abreu, but,
oh,
but other people.
Not Steve Abreu.
It's just... it doesn't matter how much possession you... It sucks because Steve Clark is not a very good player. Sorry, am I screaming?
No,
you're fine. My Joy's eating his microphone.
Yeah,
I see.
So,
yeah.
It's the only source of protein he gets.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw it over to... I mean, it's the same damn thing every match. It's like I can tell you exactly how we're going to play every single time. So we're going to bring the ball up from the back, and a fullback is going to pass the ball to the wing, who's going to pass the ball back to the fullback, who's going to pass the ball up to the wing. And then eventually, after they get tired of doing that, the wing is going to try to pass the ball into the center and it's going to be intercepted, and then I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes later the other team will give up the ball, and then we do the same thing, and then 3 or 4 minutes later we do the same thing. And the fact that it takes us 7 minutes to give up the ball every time we have it as opposed to 3 minutes doesn't make us a better team. It just makes us, I don't know, less decisive about being bad.
Alex.
Well, I think Jim did a very good job of explaining the sport of soccer. I think that's how soccer works, right? You pass it around, and then somebody shoots the ball at the net, and then sometimes it goes in.
No, we don't get that far. What we do is we pass it around, and then we lose it in the midfield because we can't actually get it up to our forward.
We scored some goals. All right, so I'm gonna bring it back, guys. I'm gonna bring it back. So everybody, take a deep breath. Deep breath at home. Deep breath at home. Okay. All right. Are you guys ready? All right, here we go. Matt,
oh, wait,
please
I'm
stop. Matt,
doing
please.
Lamaze for the
nobody's,
the thing you're about to birth.
Nobody's
Matt
doing
is dilating yeah,
okay.
11 centimeters now.
Okay, here we go. All right, so first of all, one thing I want to highlight that I think was good, and Jim may disagree with me, I thought Nikolai Ness was really, really solid. I think him paired with Gaston Saro will be potentially a great center back pairing. I really think having a mobile center back in this league is important, and having a center back who has good positioning is important. They had a miscommunication where he pulled forward. He tried to do the offside trap, and basically David Villa was unmarked. Other than that, I thought he was solid. Do you disagree on that?
He's an upgrade from Tyson Wall in terms of his ability.
And he's young.
We gave up 3 goals.
Sure.
We gave up 3 goals at home.
To the top team in the East.
We gave up 3 goals at home.
I know.
Yeah. We're a possession-based team.
Yes.
Who has the ball more than any other team.
Yes.
Every time we play. And we gave up 3 goals at home.
I agree.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And yes, he might be the best signing. He's definitely the best signing of the year because he's pretty much the only signing we've had this year who's worth a crap. But... we gave up 3 goals at home, and we drew a game that we could have won, and we keep doing that. And yes, every single time we go out, we have potential, and we blow it. And so after a while, that's a pattern, and patterns indicate behavior. Patterns don't just indicate bad luck.
So let me go on to my other points. So we have Nikolai Ness, who I thought was strong. And Gaston Saro is getting fit. So this was something that was mentioned in the Q&A and that's been mentioned on Twitter. He is doing light training now with the team. It's probably a few weeks out still. But having him back will be a big thing. Now, Ness is not going to change things overnight. When players come in, especially with Berhalter's system, which is very demanding for center backs, but just for any player in general, if you're coming to a new league, it's going to take more than a couple of weeks to get kind of acclimated to the way people play, the way your teammates play, the way other teams play. So he's not going to solve everything overnight, but I think that we will see progress as the season goes on in that regard.
I'm distracted by watching the men's Olympic basketball because there was a guy in the stands wearing a Mexican wrestling mask and what looked to be a Juventus jersey. I'm just like, what the hell?
All right, no, continue.
Then just let me continue.
Alex's points are, they're solid points.
Okay, so I got more points. So one thing on just the standings thing. We've been talking a while about, okay, we're 7 points off with the game in hand. We're actually in better position mathematically than we were last week, because we got 1 point and New England got 0 points and Orlando got 1 point. And so Orlando's a wash, but we've actually gained ground on New England, who lost 4-0, which will make next week's game very interesting, because we will be, you know, that's a 6-point game, basically. That's a huge game.
I'm not going to argue with math, but I'm going to make two comments.
Okay.
Gaining ground on these teams 1 point a month doesn't mean anything if we can't win any matches. That's one point. And the other point is, we're running out of home matches. And I'm going to say best case scenario, we barely scrape into the playoffs and then we lose in the first round. And then what the front office is going to say is that the season was a success because we had this quick run at the end and we actually made the playoffs, where in a league where 60% of the teams make the playoffs. I don't see any way where you can reasonably say that this season is not a failure.
It's short of them winning the rest of their games and going on and making a very deep run in the playoffs again. It would be difficult for me to say that this season is anything but just not a season that I'll want to remember. Right now, Sports Club Stats, which is a website that I frequent way too much, but I also go to 538 a lot as well because I'm a math nerd. We'll take wild guesses, guys, because I don't think either one of you have looked. Today, as of today, the Crew's chances to make the playoffs, percentage-wise. We'll start with Jim.
7%.
Alex.
I'm going to say 75%, Matt. Back to you.
5.2.
I was close.
So what you're saying is that I'm actually being optimistic about the season.
You are being optimistic about the season.
God, we're all dead.
The only two teams that have worse chances right now
are two teams who aren't actually in MLS.
Yes, is Ipswich Town has a 0% chance. So does Arsenal. It's weird like that. Bridgeview has a 3.2% chance. 3.3, and then the Dynamo have a 1.2% chance. But that's due to being in the West. Them being bottom of the West.
That's amazing.
Point inflation in the West.
I have another positive point, Matt.
Yes.
Our wingers, as Jim mentioned earlier, are scoring goals finally.
Yeah.
Which, if that can continue, that's a big if. But if that can continue, that's the kind of thing that can change the way the season's going. Because what they're doing right now, what every team does, is they just watch Ola Kamara like a hawk, and they can't watch him and Ethan Finley and Justin Merrim all at the same time. So if those guys can finish the ball, which Ethan Finley has not been able to do all season, and really Justin Merrim hasn't either, if they can start finishing the chances that are created for them, I think, you know, we could our production could increase to the level where our allowing goals is
where we score more goals than we don't. So, dude, look.
I just want to boil down Alex's statement real quick for just a second here to just a quick catchphrase. Finley, Merrim, make Columbus Crew SC great again. Is that what you're going for there?
I like it.
All right, cool.
Lots of smart people are telling me that that they're going to change everything.
Lots of smart people named Steve. Yeah. So look, all I got to say is that it takes
a village
more than 1 point to form a trend line, and we haven't had more than 1 point since May.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that
we've had like 7 points in a row.
I'm pretty sure Gerald Ford was president the last time we won a match.
Gerald Ford wasn't president in May. Come on, Jim. Gerald Ford wasn't even president in my lifetime. And I have seen I have seen the Crew win.
Yeah. I think Jimmy Carter wasn't even president when I was born. You're old.
I may die on this hill, but I think the Crew are going to make the playoffs, and I'm just going to stick with it until the end of time. They're gonna squeak in and shock the world. It's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen because of Ness, and it's going to happen because our wingers are going to get their stuff together. That's why it's going to happen. And Ola Kamara is a stud. He is. We don't mention him that much on the podcast. Unless he scores a goal, but he is a great, great player. Like,
yes,
one of the best in the league.
I think he's a very good player.
He scores goals.
Yeah,
he's our leading scorer.
Yes,
he is. No, he's not the one bright point as far as the season. Actually, we have more than one. You know, I'm not a complete pessimist. We have Harrison Offal's also a bright spot, although
Harrison Offal's good.
He's very weak on defense, and given the way we play,
I think he played well last game.
He is something of a liability going back, but I mean,
it's a trade-off.
It is a trade-off. Yeah. If Will Trapp were a better player, then Harrison Offal would probably be able to flourish a little bit more.
Do you all right, so we're going to go into I've got some questions for you. Some very important questions for you.
I have answers.
So do you think that there's some sort of ancient voodoo curse on the Chicago Fire because they I don't know if anybody is on the Facebook messaging boards, but a Chicago Fire fan on a Facebook messaging board on Friday was laughing at the Columbus Crew because the Chicago Fire were higher in the standings, finally, for once, than the Crew. Except they weren't. And after a bunch of Columbus Crew fans sent screenshots, that went back. But as bad as the Crew do, the Fire find a way to just mimic.
I have a theory.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a theory that over winter break, the Chicago Fire went on vacation in Hawaii, and they went on a hike, and they went into a cave, and they found this like ancient like native like mask, and they stole it.
It was a tiki doll.
Yeah, tiki doll. Yeah, and then because of that, they were cursed. That is my theory, and I'm sticking with it.
So you're saying the Chicago Fire is just Greg Brady?
Exactly.
Is what you're saying. It's fun. We're still better than them.
It's all we've got.
It's really, it's the only thing that I have. Alex, your thoughts?
We've got Ola, man.
Yeah. We do.
We've got Ola Kamara, the best number 9 in MLS.
The best.
Keep your heads held high, crew fans.
Wait, okay.
We will get through this.
Did Didier Drogba get sold to another country or something?
He's old, dude. He's a dinosaur.
Yeah.
He's got fewer goals than Ola Kamara.
He's like 30.
You know who else is a dinosaur? Kaká.
Yeah, he is.
You know who else looks like a dinosaur? Chris Bosh.
No. Let's.
I'm Chris Bosh. I'm a dinosaur.
I have to stop this for a second.
Kind of true.
The difference between Kaká and Didier Drogba, I think, is that one has won the Ballon d'Or and the other has not, and so that elevates. Mm-hmm. You're talking about two levels of great talent.
That's the
Drogba is good. Kaká was great, and he still is great.
It's French for balloon over the door, right?
Something like that, yeah.
This is way balloon off the rails. Sam, please come back. We need you.
No.
Sam. Yeah.
You know why we're going off the rails? Because I don't want anyone to drive their car off a bridge because they're so depressed. Yeah. At this point, this is all we've got. We're going to talk U.S. Women's National Team bowing out of the Olympics. We're
going to
talk
that.
Yeah. What's that?
That's positive.
We're going to talk about that next segment. Yeah, well, that's not positive. That's sad.
Well, it's positive if you don't like Hope Solo.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
I was being
who
sarcastic.
Who does any day? Or who does these days like Hope Solo?
I think like guys who drive like big semi-trucks, they like Hope Solo.
People looking for dates on farmersonly.com.
Yeah,
is that
exactly.
What you're, okay,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
all right,
yeah.
All right, that's fair.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that coming up in the next break. You have an article you want to talk about during the next segment.
Yes, in the Atlantic magazine, the Atlantic Monthly, yeah, because I'm edumacated.
You're learned.
Yeah.
You're a learned scholar, sir. Yeah. We get to go back to Mr. McGillicuddy's Flubber House on next Saturday, so we're going to be talking about the game against New England. That'll be coming up. Well, that is an away game, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, Alex?
I was checking my phone. What's up?
It's an away game on Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I thought so.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
I don't remember.
I'm going to go back to Pokemon Go.
I don't remember anything. We're also going to compare levels on Pokemon Go.
Okay.
I'm beating you, Alex.
Yep.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
And a lot more. So stick around. Please, we brought all these snacks. The least you can do is stick around for the rest of the show. This is the Massive Report, and as soon as I figure out how to make Jim's computer work, we'll be right back.
I'm Jim Bach, and I want to tell you about my hobby. And my hobby is on Saturday and Sunday mornings, on the weekends, I get up early and I get on my bike and I ride downtown and then I cross the bridge into Franklinton and I hang out at the Land Grant Brewery because their beer is great and they're open early for drunks like me. It's fantastic. They have beer that is just for Columbus Crew fans, and I like that because I'm a Columbus Crew fan. They make beer just for me.
Where are they located, Jim?
They're located in Franklinton, and I don't know the address. 424 Rich Street? West High Street? West Point Street?
Town Street?
Town yeah, Street.
Yeah. I pointed up because as somebody who's lived here his entire life, you should know that Rich Street and Town Street is the next street north of Rich Street. And then you thought West High Street was a thing? Really? Know. Really? You thought West High Street was a thing?
Yes. No, I know it's not
You're
a thing.
You're never allowed to be a neighborhood commissioner again, Jim. Ever. Ever.
I feel
shame. Tag the spot.
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I.
Just say the name of the sponsor again.
Oh, Land Grant Brewery. Their beer is really great, and it's for Columbus Crew fans like me and you.
And we are back. It is segment number two of the Massive Report. Jim, tell all the nice folks who sponsor us.
Land Grant Brewing Company. God damn it. Can we start over again?
No, we can't. No, we're just going to continue to go. I'm going to tell everybody that Ohio is Home sponsors us. I'm going to tell
Grove
everybody.
City Barbershop.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. That's good. Fireball
yes.
Press.
Yes.
And where are we currently sitting, Jim?
We're sitting on West High Street. No, we're sitting in Hendock's Pub. Yes.
Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate your commitment here, Jim. So the U.S. women's team craps out of the Olympics. Alex, your thoughts?
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care, and here's why. We are world champions. We have one of the best youth setups in the world for women's soccer. We have one of the best young players in women's soccer right now in Mallory Pugh. And the future is really bright for the United States. We did lose, lost to Sweden on penalties. Mm-hmm. It was a great game.
Sweden is a hell of a team, too.
Yeah, and my future wife, Kristen Press, did not have her best game, but the response from U.S. women's fans I thought was really nice. They all tweeted her dog pictures throughout the course of the next day, and they had a hashtag, I think it was dogs for Kristen, I think was the hashtag. And yeah, you know, I mean, we'll bounce back, but I'm really upset for the women on the team who wanted to win gold who hadn't. But for a lot of these young women on our team, there are going to be more opportunities, and our system.
I'll pick a World Cup over.
Consistently produces great talent, so I think we'll be okay.
I'll pick a World Cup over Olympic gold any day of the week.
Yeah, me
I mean,
too.
You know that's just I mean that goes without saying with. Pretty much anybody, unless Jim wants to contradict me. Because
no, I mean, I'm disappointed that this is the first time that we haven't even played in a gold medal match in the history of women's
yeah.
soccer.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I mean,
it's I'm not happy. I'm not happy about it. Yeah,
in the greater scheme of things, you know, as somebody who's a pretty big fan of the women's team, I'm sorry that we're not going to win the gold medal, but. It's not the worst thing. I don't pay that much attention to the Olympics, honestly, and so it's you know it's I'm kind of with Alex in that we're still probably the best team in the world, and this sucks, but it's a stumble. It's not a fall.
Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I also think that it serves a purpose. I think losing occasionally, even if you're a dominant team, it can light a fire under players. I think a lot of the time when you watch the women, and I felt this way a lot throughout the Olympics. They were not in their top gear. I mean, they were coasting. They were kind of giving it maybe 75-80% of what they're capable of doing. They shouldn't be doing that. And Jill Ellis should not be letting them do that. But hopefully this will kind of let them all know that, hey, you know, there are other really strong teams out there, and you need to give 110% every time. And, you know, yeah, I mean, bounce back and carry forward and let's win the World Cup again in whatever, 2 years' time.
You know, I am now convinced that Alex is the little kid in the story that Ronald Reagan used to tell. And
that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said about me, Jim.
So the story goes that there's this little kid, and on Christmas morning he wakes up, and he goes downstairs, and under the tree is this gigantic pile of horse manure. And he is so happy. And he dives into this gigantic pile of horse manure, and his parents are like, they have no idea what he's doing. And he looks up and he says, with all this horse crap, there's got to be a pony under here somewhere. And that is Alex Stanek.
I thought you were talking about the Daisy ad, but I don't think that was
that was Goldwater.
That was Goldwater. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It was Lyndon. Well, Lyndon Johnson, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Anything before the 80s, I just Nixon bad. That's all I really know about that. So that's our Olympic wrap up.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the games pan out. They haven't awarded gold yet. I think it would be really cool for Brazil to win it in Brazil. There is kind of a shift that is happening in Brazil where people are just kind of realizing that maybe the men's Brazilian team is not as talented as they were in the past. And they're having to kind of deal with that. And a lot of Brazilian fans who are used to winning consistently are looking elsewhere for a team that they can, get behind. And a lot of people are becoming women's fans for the first time in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And Marta is nearing the end of her career, and Marta is one of the best women's players of all time. And to kind of cap her career off by winning gold in her home country in the Olympics, I think would be fantastic. And so I will be supporting Brazil for the remainder of the Olympics, and Jim is shaking his head, but I will be cheering on the Soul.
No, because you've convinced me, and now you make me want Brazil to do well, and I hate you for it.
Who are you supporting in the rest of this?
I didn't really have a team. Sweden, maybe, because their jerseys are made by H&M.
That's your reasoning behind that.
I buy a lot of clothes from H&M. It's nice. It's decent quality clothing, and
Yeah.
I don't know.
For me, I go Canada. Screw it. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
That's gross.
What?
They are the Mexico of women's soccer for the United States.
No, they're not.
We hate them more than we hate Mexico. Yes, we do. I hate the Canadian women's national team. Hate them.
Their fans don't throw bags of urine at our players.
They chant really bad stuff at our players.
They probably do, but they apologize. Yes.
Like what?
Sydney LaRue has had some bad chants.
Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm unaware.
Okay. Yeah.
I just have been brainwashed by the people on Vocal Minority from my trip a couple of weeks ago. I love the Vocal Minority people, but...
I despise...
Alex has something stuck in his craw about Canadian women's soccer fans.
I despise the women's national team.
It's just Alex is positive about the Columbus Crew season right now.
I'm going to bring this back.
However, he is upset at Canadian women's soccer team fans.
I'm going to bring this back.
I'm putting this on record.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to bring this back. We do have a Columbus Crew connection to the Canadian women's soccer team. And that is that Drew Becky, former center back draft pick for the Columbus Crew, his sister Janine Becky is one of the really standout players for the Canadian women's soccer
team.
So if you are a Columbus Crew fan and you have no horse in the race and you don't hate the Canadian women's team like I do, Canada is a decent option for you.
I've talked about this on the podcast before. I can't hate Canada because it's like hating the little kid that got beat up at the bus stop a lot.
All I'm saying is...
You know what I mean? I can't hate Canada.
If you spend 2 hours in Canadian women's soccer Twitter, you will despise them.
Alex, the fact that you've spent two hours in Canadian women's soccer Twitter, that's not Canadian. I have spent way more than two hours, Matt.
By the way, most of those people are just paid by the Russians.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like the Trump campaign staff?
Oh, yeah.
So, it just occurred to me that I've actually met the Brazil women's team. I mean, not the current Brazil women's team, but the Brazil women's team from, 1999 or something.
Uh-huh.
Because they played – there was, a four-team friendly tournament that was played at Crew Stadium, way back when it was Crew Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And
way back when it opened?
Yeah, around the time that it – not long after it opened. And actually, it was back when City Center was a thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I was hanging out in City Center, and I guess the Brazil – Yeah. I forgot
City Center existed.
It was a shopping mall downtown.
He was wearing Jordache jeans at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
His Nickelodeon You Slimed Me t-shirt.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had a wallet chain.
Yeah.
He still has a wallet chain.
I don't even have a wallet.
I use a
money clip. What are you talking about?
Oh, God.
It's the worst podcast ever. I know I say that every week.
But no, I met the Brazilian women's team, and I didn't speak Portuguese, and they didn't speak English, but we both spoke Italian, so...
Oh, nice.
It was true love.
You were just like, bippity-boppity, bippity-boppity-boppity, bippity-boppity. And that's how you have a child in Brazil now.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. That's how that works, right?
I think so,
You just speak the same language, and then...
You say bippity-boppity three times, and then you do, like, you nutmeg each other, and then, boom, you've had sex with a Brazilian.
Sammy, that's how babies are made, right? Is the only person sitting around this table right now that's had children. That's how babies are made, right?
That's definitely how babies are made.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Friend of the program, Sammy, helping us out with how babies are made. Alex, do you know how babies are made?
You just told me, Matt.
He does now.
I do now.
All right, let's get back to something relatively... I don't know if it's serious or not, but Jim, you had an article in The Atlantic you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, actually, so... So I'm a subscriber to the Atlantic magazine, which is a magazine that like 14 other people read.
Yeah.
But for
Alex, could you briefly explain what a magazine is?
Okay. It's this thing that comes monthly or weekly or bi-weekly.
I know what a magazine is. I used to get Nintendo Power back to you, Matt.
I was more of a GamePro kid myself.
And so the title of the article is How British Soccer Became Must-See TV. The new season of the Premier League will be the best ever. And so there's a couple of major problems with this article, which is, first of all, the Premier League is not British, it's English. There's no mention anywhere in this article of teams like Celtic, Rangers, I'm trying to think of a Welsh team that doesn't actually play in the English leagues, and I can't. But then there are also Northern Irish. But that's. I digress.
How often do they mention Scunthorpe?
I don't think that they. What they.
Dagen Red.
They don't mention. Altrincham Town either, or Grimsby Town.
What about Aldershot?
No, I don't think so.
This article's already.
Yes. So anyway, the point of the article is that, so the Premier League season started this past weekend.
Yes.
I'm sure many of our listeners are aware of that. And so thanks to I don't think that they really explicitly mention the fact that there's just an ungodly amount of money going into the Premier League, or as someone recently described it, as the entertainment wing of the international petroleum industry, which is actually not far from the truth.
Petroleum/gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because of the ungodly amount of money that's going into the Premier League, most of the best managers in the world coach teams in the Premier League now. Guardiola is back. They have Antonio Conte. They have Mourinho is back.
Who's Siggy Schmidt coaching this year?
I think that he is coaching Dagenham and Redford.
Okay, cool.
Redbridge.
He's coaching the Golden Corral corporate team, I believe.
Okay, yes. And so, they make the argument that now I think we all know that the Premier League is the most popular like sports team league in the world.
Yes.
More people watch Formula One than they watch like any individual Premier League match throughout the course of a year. But in terms of team sports, the Premier League is the most popular league on the planet. And basically, they're encouraging people to sort of get in on this action without actually. Having to choose a team, which is something that I really kind of enjoy, because you see all these articles about, well, if you like the Boston Red Sox, then you should root for Liverpool, or if you like the Dallas Cowboys, then you should root for Manchester United or something.
Articles like that want me to wash my mouth out with a revolver.
They're just saying that it's a gigantic spectacle. Thanks to Leicester City winning last year, they've sort of proven that the league is upended and that anyone could win, which isn't really accurate, and Leicester City's not going to be replicated again. But the point is that there's a lot of teams that can win in the Premier League. There's a lot of really great coaches. And then the reason why I really liked the article and the reason why I wanted to bring it up is that the third reason why they say that you should get into the Premier League is so that you can read and understand and appreciate The Guardian's Barney Rone. And I'm not making this up, because Barney Rone is one of the great journalists of our time.
Uh-huh.
He is absolutely hysterical. He is a fantastic, poetic writer. And being able to read and appreciate his work is one of the great joys of being a football fan. Uh-huh. And they literally, I mean, that is like, basically the article is about three things. It's about how, thanks to Leicester City, there's a lot of balance in the league, and any team can win
there's
it.
There's not a lot of balance in the league. I know. Thanks to Leicester City, they proved that an underdog can can do it, and that's all. And I'm not shitting on Leicester.
I think it's hilarious that basically there are three reasons for encouraging people to support the Premier League are Jamie Vardy, Pep Guardiola, and Barney Rone.
I prefer Barney's lesser known author cousin Risa, but that's just Risa.
It's available on the web, Atlantic.com, I think, and it's a pretty good article.
So I want to get in on this real quick, because there are all these people that are like, you know, talking about Leicester City and talking about all that sort of stuff. Yeah. The Premier League did kick off this weekend.
Leicester lost to Hull, who don't even have a manager.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're called the Tigers. Rawr.
Yes.
What do you guys think? What's your just gut feeling on this year's Premier League season? And we'll talk about Serie A when it starts, Alex.
No, I don't care. I'm waiting.
You're waiting for
Serie A? I'm waiting for Serie A. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find out from the match fixers who's going to win this year?
My sources tell me it's going to be Juventus. Matt, back to you.
All right. Jim, can you put my money in the international consortium of betting on
Juve's
Juventus?
Gonna win.
Thank you.
Yeah,
okay,
Juve's
going
to win. I'll talk about the Premier League for like a minute. And
yeah,
then,
no, I just,
yeah,
I
sure.
Literally, this is just
well,
kind of, you know.
Okay, so... So Manchester United
aren't winning. We need something that's not going to make our listeners kill themselves. So
Man United have Jose Mourinho, who is a horribly loathsome person, but he's also an effective manager, at least for the first couple of years that he will.
Was the basis for Special One TV, which is the best thing that I've ever seen on the internet.
It's pretty hilarious. Yeah. It used to be I'm on Setanta Sports.
I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Mourinho is an effective manager. I'm not going to say he's a good manager, but he's an effective manager. And they have Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Paul Pogba. And then they also have that Mkhitaryan guy, who I don't really know a whole lot because I don't follow the Bundesliga. But
he's
I understand he's very good. I understand that Juan Mata is on the way out, which is a horrible thing. And I also understand that Marouane Fellaini is probably also on his way out, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that United... or Manchester City will probably win the league. City have Pep Guardiola, who is possibly the best manager in the world now. I don't know. And they have, you know, they just have a ridiculous amount of money, and they picked up some very, very decent players. And then they also picked up John Stones. And then it's going to be interesting to see what Conte does with Chelsea's pampered billionaires.
Yeah, I mean, is Chelsea going to be as garbage as they were last year?
Oh, no, not with Conte, because Conte will literally, like, go to these players' houses and, like, pull their like, inner organs out by their throats if they don't perform for him.
Wow.
And I think Alex can attest to that.
My favorite Antonio Conte moment was during the Euros a few months ago, and Italy lost the ball in possession, and he started screaming at the defenders, I'll kill you. And the thing that's interesting to me about Conte, and this is the problem that I think Chelsea's always had, is that Roman Abramovich likes to kind of tinker with things that he should not be tinkering with. He likes to kind of say, oh, I was watching the game last week and I want you to start so-and-so. And the coach will say, I don't think that'll work. And Roman will say, I own the team. I don't care.
Yeah. Or, and like, so I'm going to buy Shevchenko even though you don't think you need him because he's Russian and I'm Russian and I have a lot of money.
And now you have to play him. Yeah. And so there's going to be some struggle there. The thing that Conte really had at Juventus was an ownership group that said, you tell us what you need, we will get you that, and then we're just going to let you do whatever you do. And he was the authority figure. With Chelsea, the authority figure might end up still being Roman Abramovich, which... if that's the case, then I think this Conte experiment is going to be a total disaster. But I think that they will do better than they did last year, but it's not hard to surpass that.
So. Well, so just to go back to the article, I follow the Premier League. I don't have a team in the Premier League, and I don't care that much who wins. But
I mean, none of us have a team in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, I had a team that was in the Premier League for two years, like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I had a team that was in and then out and then in and then out and then in and out and then out for a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still do.
But, yeah. You know. But the sort of the point of the article is that if you look at it as the world's most expensive and highly choreographed reality show, it's enormously entertaining. And that's the way I look at it. And so that was the reason why I appreciated the article.
I enjoy, like, yeah, I enjoy coming down here and watching. I'm not an Arsenal fan. I enjoy coming down here and watching Arsenal games on Saturday or Sunday
mornings. Oh, I like watching Arsenal fans bitch. That's
well, that's
I like, I also enjoy watching Arsenal lose. That's one of my that's the thing I tune into the Premier League the most for, is watching Arsenal be like 3-0 up and then lose 4-3 in like stoppage time. You know, I really enjoy that.
You know what I enjoy is watching a Liverpool game with Tony Galifo when they're losing. That is that's poetry in motion right there. It's all I got.
It's the very first time that the words poetry and Tony Galifo were ever spoken in the same sentence.
Tune in next week for Tony's Poetry Corner. So we're going to take a break, guys. We'll come back in a little bit here, and we're going to break down Crew v New England.
Big game.
Yes. It's an East Derby.
It's a Northeast Derby. Ah, see what I did there? Arr, I'm a pirate. stick around, guys. It's the Massive Report. Hey, thank you very much to Ohio is Home. Check out ohioishome.com. Grab your Massive Report shirt there, plus so many other things. Ohio is Home has a great selection of Ohio-branded T-shirts. Really cool stuff at that website. Go to ohioishome.com. Please click on it. Pick some stuff you like. Get it. Tell them your friends at the Massive Report sent you. Also, thank you to Grove City Barbershop. You need a haircut. Well, yeah, of course you do. Look at yourself. God, get your hair cut. Seriously. Jim, I'm talking to you.
Yes.
Baldy McBalderson.
I'm like David Crosby over here.
For real. No, but everybody else, including Alex Stanek, needs to get their hair cut. And the best place to do it, Grove City Barbershop in Grove City. Justin is going to take care of you. And at the end of the whole thing, hot towel shave. Which, seriously, Jim, you should just go in there for the hot towel shave. Like,
yeah,
for real.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. Jim has no hair, but the hot towel shave, worth the price of admission. I'm just going to say that. Huge fan of that. A bunch of cool guys down there, and just a great place to go get your hair cut. Grove City Barbershop, thank you so much for being a sponsor of the program. Also, big thank you to our good friends at Fireball Press, Kevin Grimm. Big Crew fan, and he is the dude that is one of the guys that owns the place. You need business cards, printed material, anything along those lines, get yourself over to their website at fireballpress.com or stop into their location at the corner of 5th and High. They'll get everything taken care of for you. Plus, I'm just going to set this out there as I am not one of these people, but he is, and I support him in just being that. If you're a West Ham fan, get a hold of Kevin, because he is starting a West Ham supporters group in this fair city, and Ryan Gear was super excited about it earlier, so I'm just going to plug that on the podcast. He didn't even pay us to do that, and I'm going to do it anyway. Fireball Press, awesome people, awesome design, awesome final product. Stick around. Segment 3 coming up in literally a matter of moments. It's the Massive Report. And we're back. It is segment number 3. This is the Massive Report. Hello, friends. How are you?
I'm good.
The only way out is through, guys.
I'm as great as I could be on a Monday evening, a rainy Monday evening.
Yeah. I think it stopped raining again. I don't know. Dude, I had to go down to Canal today for work. And it rained the entire way down to Canal. It rained the entire time I was
Canal
in Canal.
Canal Street in Manhattan? Or yes. Canal Winchester?
Canal Winchester.
Oh, okay.
Canal Chichester. Yeah, that was a bear. But we're going to the house that Flubber built this weekend. We're going to Foxborough.
Craft Mansion.
Craft Dinner Mansion.
Yes. Because it's not the Massive Report unless there's inside Canadian jokes.
For real.
Yeah.
That's a thing now. Yeah. That's a thing, guys. Just buy all those fancy ketchups.
Yes.
Craft dinner.
So
Foxborough, Gillette Stadium. That's what it's called, Gillette Stadium. Yes, yes. I forgot.
Yeah, so
it's the shaving cream derby.
Yeah, so don't. Yes, it is the shaving cream derby. Yes. Yeah.
Guys, we're gonna play Kai again.
Yeah.
We're gonna play Kai again on the most awful surface that still exists in Major League Soccer.
Oh wow, is that true?
It almost certainly is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seattle has to give them a run for the money still.
Okay, most awful surface that we have the potential of playing at more than once every other year. Is that better?
Okay. Oh, wow. It's the same.
Orange Bowl's natural grass, right?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah.
It used to be back in the day.
Yeah, I forget Orlando plays in the league a lot, so I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that they haven't replaced the turf where the Patriots and those other teams play since like O.J. Simpson was playing for them.
But they don't have to.
Yeah, I know. That's the
well.
Point.
Also, it's a different stadium now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's it's also a thing. It's yeah, also yeah. there. That's
but
like.
They, but is, they kept the turf.
They just rolled it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you get.
It's like when you move to a new house, but you keep the same rugs.
Yeah, they do. It was like when you get something from a thrift store, though. They did spray it for bed bugs. They did, you know, a couple days, rolled up, sprayed for bed bugs, and then put it in the new stadium.
They shook it out, make sure there weren't any bloody gloves in there. And then,
yeah, I know, yeah, fair yeah. enough. But, Alex, you seem to think this is the most important game that the Crew has ever played in the history of Crew.
No.
All right.
It's an
this
important
season.
Game. It's an important game. Most important of the season.
That has not been played yet.
I'll say something.
I don't know.
Ooh, sorry. I will say something. If we win, it would be the most important game we've played this year. Because if we win, it would mean because
big old win number four.
Well, big old win number four. Yeah, I'm running out of fingers. ever since the accident. But no, if we were to win and actually gain points on the team that is just above us in the standings, then it could turn the season around. And that is my Sunshine Brigade contribution for the evening.
Alex.
Thanks, Jim. No, I do think of the games that we have played so far this season, it's probably the most important. This could really make the climb back difficult if we were to lose.
What if we draw?
You could get out of this thing with a draw. I would take a draw.
No, you wouldn't.
I would take a draw.
God, no.
I would take a draw.
Stop it.
I would take a draw away from home. I would. But if we win, then you close the gap to 4 points with a game in hand. And 4 points with a game in hand over the course of a couple of months is completely doable. You still have Orlando, but we have two games on them. So that's a little bit better.
4 points? I got New England with 26. And
oh, that's right, because they lost. That's right. So it would be 6 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be 3 points with a game in hand. Yeah, I forgot that they had lost this weekend. It was 7 points before. Now it's six. So, yeah, this is a potentially big game. If
God,
we lose...
East sucks. Yeah. I mean, just like it's just...
That's,
wow.
That's what I've been saying. The fact that we are in crisis mode and are still right in the thick of things to make the playoffs is pretty remarkable.
It's like we're the shortest team in Munchkin Land.
Yeah, well, and the thing that's really crazy about this is you go back and you think up until they signed Sebastian Giovinco... Toronto FC failed to make the playoffs in this format for like years. So with all the money that they were spending. So that's an accomplishment that should still be remembered by new MLS fans that Toronto before Giovinco were terrible. And hopefully after Giovinco, they'll go back to being terrible. Back to you, Matt.
What do you guys think the Crew needs to do in this situation in order to pull out a win?
They need to do a couple of things. They need to have a somewhat competent defense. I think that's one thing that needs to happen. The defense doesn't have to play lights out, but it needs to not completely collapse like it has in previous weeks. I thought Nick Galines was very good last week, and if he can play 1 week further into his kind of adjustment period, I think we can be okay. And then we need to get production from the wing players. New England are a team that are physical, and they could cause problems for Ola Kamara, but he scored against them I believe he scored against them in the last game. So somebody check me on that. I'm not positive. But I believe he had one in the game with Kai last time, and then Kai had one as well.
Yeah.
So he can score against them, but I would feel much more confident if I knew that Merrim or Finley were going to score. The thing that's crazy about this is you have two teams who are both really not performing, and it's hard to judge which team is playing worse right now, whether it's New England or whether it's the Crew. But like we talked about earlier, the Crew got a point and New England didn't, so hopefully we can get it done, but it's hard to say.
I'm still trying to figure out the answer to your question. I have no idea how the Crew could win this game. I just don't see it happening.
Well, they could score more goals than New England. So how do they do that?
I just don't see it happening.
All right.
I can't envision a situation where we win this game.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you get cold all of a sudden?
Yeah, I did.
All right, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Jim just put an Inter jersey on randomly.
I've been trying not to look at it, Matt. It's
Well, you don't want to look directly at it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and granted, my team beat his team last time they played.
My team.
That's true. But you're still wearing it, so.
I'm still wearing it. I have a lot of jerseys.
I don't care. I just like to dog on Jim because he put a soccer jersey on randomly, and I am warm.
I have an AC Milan jersey also at home.
Yeah. Sammy agrees. It's warm in here. Yeah.
Yeah. I get cold easily.
But it's because you're old.
It's because I'm old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, guys, just looking at this game on paper and looking at just past performances and the performances that the Crew's had, if you were – and I know that we had this whole supporters meeting with Greg Berhalter that we're not allowed to talk about on the podcast because I guess journalistic integrity or something along those lines. I don't know. Sam needs to explain to me why we're not allowed to talk about it.
Because it was off the record, Matt.
Was off the record?
Yes.
But you went.
I went.
You went, and I could interview you about it.
No.
You weren't on the record.
But I'm off the record.
You're off the record right now.
I'm off the record right now.
I don't know what that means.
I'm declining all comment on the Q&A with Greg Berhalter.
All right, fair enough.
No, but
if you're Greg Berhalter, what do you change?
I build on what we saw this weekend. I don't change anything. I say, look, you guys were the second best team in Major League Soccer last year. New England are not the second best team in Major League Soccer, and you guys can do so much more than you're doing right now. I think that our team, it's a confidence thing more than anything. I think guys like Merrim, guys like Finley,
they need
to believe in themselves.
It's August.
But they need to believe in themselves.
Yeah, they do, but it's August, Alex. If it was a confidence thing... How do you not get your confidence back by August?
Well, you'd have to not suck. So can I relate a little story? We'll let the Sunshine Brigade talk.
Last season basically the same thing happened.
Yeah.
We hadn't won away from home throughout the majority of the year. People were saying season over, Berhalter out, we need to totally change everything, burn everything down, start over.
And I'm not saying any of that.
And then they started to get their form and they started to believe that they can do this and they started to put together win after win and it started to click for them. And I think what we need to see is the production that we saw from Finley and Merrim consistently. If that happens, this team is going to look a lot better. If that doesn't happen, this team is still going to look better than what we've seen in the last couple of months because, number one, Federico Higuain is back. He's back right now, and he adds a lot to this team. It's not so much in stats, but he is a integral part of the system that we play. And then also Gaston Saro is recovering from his injury, and when he is back and we can play him next to Ness, I think this is really going to start to come together. Maybe I'm wrong, and like I said, I'm going to die on this hill. I think we make the playoffs. I think we get a draw this weekend, but I'm sure we'll do score predictions later. But
actually, pretty soon because I don't know what else I'm going to ask you guys.
I got a little story.
I think we will do okay.
Jim has a story.
Yeah, I got a story. So this is not about Precourt, and this is not about Greg Berhalter. And unfortunately, it's about English soccer, sort of. So this friend of mine, coworker, came into my office a week or so ago, and he's lived all over. He grew up all over England, but I think he grew up a lot of his childhood was spent in the Liverpool area, and so he's a big Everton supporter. And so I asked him how he felt about Everton's season, and he was very, very optimistic because Everton now have Ronald Koeman as their manager, and they don't have Roberto Martinez. And he was so happy because they got rid of a manager who would only play. He only knew one way how to play. He only knew how to play possession soccer. His teams gave up a lot of goals, and he was unrealistically optimistic in the press conferences after every match. And the Everton fans got really tired of a manager who only knew one tactic that was based on possession, and after every match made all these excuses about their players' poor performance and stuff like that. And I looked at him and I thought, wow, as a Crew supporter, I can only imagine what it would be like to get rid of an idiot like that. That's all I got to say.
All right, fair enough. Alex, final thoughts?
I still have faith in Greg. I still have faith in the system. I still have faith in the team that he was able to put together last time. And I still have faith in the scouting network that has got us a lot of really great players.
Who all got homesick and left.
No, I don't think that's fair. I think we have a lot of really good players that have been brought in under Berhalter. Harrison Offal, Nicolai Ness, Gaston Saro.
Ness has played one game for
Ola
us.
Ola Kamara.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But you're likes
saying,
him.
You're saying that Nicolai Ness is a good signing. Yeah. He's played one match for us in a match where we gave up three goals at home.
Sure. Okay.
I'm sorry, but that is by definition failure.
Okay. Harrison Offal
is on a team that has won. How many games
Ola
has
Kamara?
Harrison Offal won? How many games has Ola Kamara won? I'm sorry. The point of this sport is to win games. And these teams, these players are not winning games. They are losing or drawing every single game. They haven't. I barely remember the last time they won a game. Kai Kamara is the second leading scorer on this team, and he hasn't played for us in like 4 months. This is ridiculous. 3 months, actually. But this is ridiculous. 3 months and one day. It's been that many days since our second leading scorer left. This team is terrible, and people need to come to grips with this. The ownership and the management of this team need to come to grips with the fact that they are terrible, and we can see it, and I'm effing sick of it.
You can swear on this podcast. It's fine. We'll just put an explicit thing. I said shit like 3 times on the show already.
I'm just really tired. I mean, look, Alex, I like you and I respect you and I respect your opinions and I think you're a smart guy and I hope that what you were saying is true, but I am just really tired of this crap. I'm really tired of going there. It's literally the only reason I go to these matches is so that I can hang out with my friends because it is a miserable time. It's miserable watching them play the exact same way every single fucking game. And you know what? I don't know dick about this sport. And I know how to beat this team. And so if I know how to beat them, then professional coaches like Bruce Arena sure as hell know how to beat them, and that's what they're doing.
All right. Score predictions.
I'm going to say 2-2. I think it's going to be 2-2, but I think we make the playoffs. I'm going to add that.
I'm asking about this specific game. The playoffs don't start after this game, Alex.
I know. But what I'm saying is, because we had talked about it earlier, about how important this game was.
Yeah.
And I do think it's important that we don't lose.
No, it's
important.
I think we're okay. No, this game, in my opinion, is only important if we win. If not, well, no, it's important in a bad way if we lose or if we draw. We can't keep drawing.
We can.
Oh, no, Matt. That's possible, yes. No, we definitely can do that, no. Yes.
Over half of the teams make the playoffs. And so if you draw all of your games.
Yeah, but we have more losses than wins.
Yes, but literally, if we were to have a season where you draw all of your games, I think you could still make the playoffs with that record. So my point is, certainly
if you're in the East, you could.
Yes. So my point is that we can actually. My point is that this is not over,
somebody who's smarter than me. Go to the internet and find out if anybody in the last couple years has made the playoffs with 34 points.
Well, I'm not going to do it right now. Can I give my? I'm
going to.
The
East is historically bad this year, so watch it happen this year. It's going to happen.
Okay.
No, that's not going to happen. Alex, we're going to make the playoffs, though.
Alex, you know that thing I said about you being smart and me liking you? That ended when you said that the East has been historically bad this year, because that sentence just does not scan.
Yeah, it doesn't. It.
No, I'm saying historically, meaning that when you look back at how many seasons we've played.
I'm just giving you shit, my young friend.
Okay.
All right, Jim, score prediction.
We're going to lose 2-1. Because Ola Kamara is actually a good player, and if we get a ball at his feet, he will score a goal. Because one of the things that you can count on New England doing is giving up goals.
Yeah. Wait, you can count on New England giving up goals, but we're going to lose what?
2-1.
Oh, 2-1. Okay, that makes more sense. I'm going to say the house that Flubber built gives us a big old 1-1 draw, because no one knows where the ball is going to go. No one has any idea, and the musket guys scare everybody. And so New England might score, but then half their team will run off the field scared because the musket guys are there. I don't know. I don't know how to call this season. I have no idea.
You clearly know about as much soccer as Greg Berhalter does.
No, I just have no idea what to say about this season. Like legitimately. I have no idea what the hell's going on.
I still say that we just record each of us sobbing quietly into a pillow, and that's the next 10 podcasts.
Save me some time on Mondays. Yes. Swear to God, save me some time on Mondays.
You'd be here anyway, Matt.
I would, yeah. Nah, I have nothing better to do. I got all this extra cash. It's funny because
yes.
I'm poor.
Yes. No, I'm sorry. No. Matt says he's got all that extra cash, but what he means is he's got all that targeted allocation money.
I do. And by that, I mean the podcast tab that we get every week. All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for being here. I want to say thank you to our sponsors. Jim, you want to rattle them off?
Oh, our sponsors are Land Grant Brewing Company, Ohio is Home, Hendock's Pub, the Grove City Barbershop, and Fireball Press.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. All right, I'm sorry.
And so I also want to give a shout out to my new friend, whose name is, I've forgotten his name. But anyway, so during.
Ryan Gear?
No, not Ryan Gear. Simon. Is it Simon? Yeah, Simon.
Simon
so, Borg? No. Right. No, he was standing behind us at the match Saturday night. And right. And so they were throwing t-shirts.
Yeah.
To the fans. And so he got a t-shirt and he gave it to my young friend Joe.
Oh, yeah, Joe's my favorite. Yeah, Joe's a good dude.
Yeah, and so thanks to that, I told him that I would mention him on the podcast.
Nice. Yeah, well, that sounds good. Yeah. An hour and 4 minutes in seems like an apt place to mention him.
Unfortunately, he fell asleep 45 minutes ago.
Yeah,
he's never listened to this podcast. He's like, there's a crew podcast?
Yeah, I also want to give a shout-out to the people at Big Mama's Burritos. They are awesome. They're not listening to me right now, which is totally fine, but they're over there right now. The burritos in the burrito shop at this bar are fantastic.
They are really good, and they have a lot of vegetarian options.
They do. I will never try one of those, but I'm sure for people who,
who love their colon,
hate the baby Jesus, they will enjoy that very much. This is the first, I think it's the first podcast that I've ever had that I've just been surrounded by vegetarians. This is kind of, I'm scared.
Surrounded on two sides?
Yeah.
You're a vegetarian, Alex?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh. We have a new podcast, guys. Jim and Alex present...
Vegetarian Syria.
present,
just end the show.
Present Leak Talk.
Play us out,
Leak
Sam.
Talk coming out next, guys. So thank you very much to Jim Bach. Thank you very much to Alex Stanek. Chris Landis will be back next week.
If his mother lets him.
Oh, be nice
to
Chris.
I know. Chris, we love Chris. He's great.
He's been helping out his mom this week. So thank you very much to Chris for being an awesome dude. For everybody at The Massive Report, my name is Matt Goshard. This has been another edition of The Massive Report. And I'm an 18-wheeler headed down the interstate. And my brakes are going to give, and I won't know until it's too late. Tires screaming when I lose control. Try not to hurt too many people when I roll.